Ramble.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of You Can Sit With Us. I'm one of your hosts, Matt, sitting here with Maggie.
Hello.
We have Rainey on the ones, twos, threes, and fours.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest today. We're going to get some behind-the-scenes scoop from our own Silent Night, Nick Rufka.
Yay,
so excited to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here with you both.
Yes, we've been meaning to have you on for a while. We've gotten a lot of, you know, the inner workings and behind the scenes from other people in the office. And we haven't had you on yet. We haven't had a chance.
Excellent.
Today's the day.
I'm honored.
You can sit with us listeners, know Rachel very well, but what they probably, you haven't like had a deep dive with Nick. So we're really excited to have you on. Thanks for carving out some time to come chat with us.
Absolutely.
Do you want to introduce yourself and your title?
Who are you? Why are you here? What do you do?
My name is Nick Rufka, and I am the COO of Second Try.
Ooh, sounds fancy.
Yes.
Chief Operations Officer.
Yes. Yeah. When you started at Second Try, can you tell us a little bit about where you started and like what your title was there?
Yeah. So I came on as a producer and I got the call maybe a week before holiday break, and Rachel called me to have me come in to replace her because she was going on an extended maternity leave to have twins.
Yes.
So you've been here for 2 years.
I know, I can measure myself from June and Poppy. Four.
Oh my God, they're already four.
Yeah, I know, I thought you were being sarcastic. Yeah.
They grew up really fast.
Time flying.
But when I question how long I've been here, I think of the girls.
Yeah.
Because they were in her belly when we interviewed. Yeah. And it was wild. I had not been in the YouTube space before, and I had been laid off from my previous job, which was a digital production company, maybe like 3 months prior. And I was just getting to that point where I'm like, I have not heard back from anyone. I had like a recruiter looking for me. I was going for all these Netflix, Amazon, big old streaming. And then Rachel called and she's like, I work for these YouTube stars, the Try Guys. So I looked them up.
And that was history.
And then I started... I got the job right before I left town, and I started the day I got back. And Rachel and I overlapped for two very hectic weeks because the first week I came in, they were shooting every day. And then she was like, I'm out. And
like, bye, it's your problem.
She was like, I got to go rest. And it was a very wild, eye-opening beginning. I really didn't feel like I knew what I was doing for the first...
Well, you played it well. Every single time you were producing any sort of video, I was like, oh.
I remember the first time I met you.
Really?
Was.
I was like thinking about.
Well, I think it was the winemaking.
That was the first time?
I don't know if it's the first time I said hello to you, but was that the first time you were on camera?
It was close. I think it was technically the second.
Yeah.
Because I think
maybe with me, it was the first. Like, I don't know.
You know what? I think it was maybe the first.
I remember feeling like we were like, oh, Maggie like hasn't, you know, is joining the troop. And it was such a weird shoot.
And it was like not in the space that we're normally and
It was
working
just weird
around people. But
I was definitely figuring things out.
Yeah.
My first.
There was no policies and procedures.
But the first video they did. Wild yeah. The day I started, like the Monday I started, they were doing crop tops. I'm just like, this is weird. And we're in that little living room.
You're like, who would want to watch that?
I'm just like standing off to the side. What have I signed up for? And Keith and Zach were in the crop tops and Eugene was the expert.
And then, in crop tops.
Eugene is an expert in crop top, but sure.
But they were interviewing him. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I get what this all is.
I mean, and then they all left that video being like, what? What was that?
And then that Friday they did the dumplings video, which is one of our biggest. And that's the first video that Rachel, because I was kind of shadowing her that week, and she called and was like, I'm not going to make it today. So I was like, oh my gosh, just me.
Just you.
Was
it that video where you're like, okay, this is pretty cool?
I still thought it was weird.
That we're eating.
I mean, it was cool. I knew right away, like, the guys were super nice.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, like, they helped bring up the equipment, which I was like, that's cool. And then Keith was so, you know, just talkative to me right away that mm-hmm. he made me feel very comfortable.
Yeah.
He's very talkative.
Yeah.
I know. He's always trying to make everyone feel welcome.
That's his strength.
Yeah.
What do you think about YouTube now? Because I feel like I know a lot of people in, like, traditional media who sort of, I don't want to say look down on, but aren't really, you know, like, there's a little bit of judgment. Do you deal with that? Or are you sort of like, no, YouTube rocks. Like,
I love it now.
Yeah.
And my take on it is, before I switched over to digital media, I worked in feature films, and sometimes they would be great jobs and sometimes they'd be miserable jobs, but it's very few jobs where people actually saw them, because it takes so much for a movie to get to the theater. And,
right.
And so I would work on a project, busting my ass for months and months.
Like,
and it would take forever.
And then no one knows what
final...
it is. I'm like, have you heard of this movie? It was out last, you know?
Yeah.
Where this, we're cranking stuff out. And if people don't know what it is, I could just say, here, open your phone. I'll show you.
Uh-huh.
So I just like the work to public release ratio.
Is really
your
gratifying.
Work, it's out there.
Yeah, it's cool.
And a lot of people are watching and responding, so...
Content doesn't sleep.
I love it. But yeah, I do think there's a little bit of a like.
Yeah, and it's just like,
YouTube. It's
YouTube.
Like, that's cute.
How do you get paid? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's judging you? Who are these people?
They're probably people in my age bracket who started out
in 21.
This industry. Yeah. So exactly. Who YouTube came to be when we were out here. You know, like, it wasn't an option when I moved here.
Yeah.
was film or TV.
True. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it just became this newer thing that people who didn't come up with it don't quite understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't watch it all the time.
What do you think is next on YouTube?
Oh my gosh. Great question.
The next.
Yeah. What do you see in the future?
Well, I'll go off that last answer. It's like, now I think we're already working with people who grew up with it. But I think I grew up dreaming about making movies and dreaming in, like, the film language. And I think now that people have grown up dreaming in the YouTube language, the content's only going to get stronger.
Yeah.
Because you've spent your life.
Do you think there's going to be more films on YouTube?
I think it's just going to be more and more elevated because we're now working with people who watched it their whole lives and have their own ideas and know the audience because they are the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just going to get better and better.
Yeah.
So TikTok is not going to replace YouTube.
I don't think it is.
Oh my gosh.
Don't you think TikTok is a different kind of consumption?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like, I feel like I still meet people who are like, I'm obsessed with TikTok, but I go to YouTube for my shows.
Yeah.
I think YouTube will become more, you know, like, I mean, it already is show and series. And
I mean, TikTok still, I feel like, is used mostly for short.
Yeah. Videos, short form, you know, content.
Short stuff.
Even though there's, like, they can say that there's more people on at the, at one moment. It's just because it's shorter and it's just...
I mean, TikTok, you're basically just channel flipping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just want to bounce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What TikTok...
Billions of channels.
What TikTok algorithm are you on?
Yeah, what's on your talk right now?
I'm getting out of it. You know, I'm like pulling myself...
You're just trying
to... I'm off social. Cleanse. I got off social.
Wow. Yeah.
Whoa.
How recent did you get off?
I got off in the summer of 2020.
He was gonna this morning.
And I did it. Yeah. I'm like, I stopped today with coffee. There's a lot going on.
Wow.
Yeah, it was right at the beginning of the pandemic and I felt like
you have no Twitter, you have no Instagram, you have no Facebook.
You have
no LinkedIn, you have no
LinkedIn.
TikTok.
Don't mess with my LinkedIn. Okay. Yeah, LinkedIn is I'm on there for professional reasons.
Snapchat. Yeah.
And I got back on Instagram as I had to reach out to experts for Try Guys.
Oh, I
see. So you can find me there, but I've got no posts. And it's honestly, I've just used it to reach out.
Yeah. That's my Facebook Messenger.
Yeah. And Facebook. But Facebook I deleted, which was, I was like, wow, this is
gone.
I deleted my Facebook. Yeah. It was hard because
Yeah.
A lot of family members.
Yeah. I went through all my albums. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
But I got to a point where I was like, family members, you can find me on WhatsApp if you want me. Yeah.
WhatsApp is your app.
Yeah, just because I have a lot of families overseas. So like, I was like, if you want to message me.
Yeah.
But I guess it's harder because then they're not seeing the same photos and like a photo stream. But anyway.
Yeah. I jumped onto TikTok when we did a Try Guys TikTok. When TikTok was so new, we did a Try Guys Try TikTok. So I had to get it.
I didn't know we did that. That's
so
funny.
Crazy. That was only a couple of years ago. And my algorithm was definitely like food and recipes and fitness. And then a friend of mine was like, I love watching Karens on TikTok. And she showed me one. Yes. And then I was filled with Karens going wild. And that was actually, it started to disturb me. So.
Yeah. That one, yeah, you can't.
I'm off of it enough where I feel like when I get on once in a while now, it's usually like a celebrity thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's sponsored something.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm on private jet TikTok.
Oh.
It's insane.
Wow. So Matt is not on relatable content. He's on inspirational content.
What does that mean?
It's insane. It's like people are going to buy their private jet. And it's them like designing it and like what they want. And like
designing
how many
it.
People and I like is it just gonna be able to land in Mykonos? You know, it's like all this stuff, and you're like, are these people?
Wow.
They're like, I don't like leather, it's so old, so I have felt everything.
Like there's everything enough is private felt. Jets to go around like, where people are just customizing their own.
That's what I was you can customize. This is like
you can have your own private have it. Yeah. There's companies that do it. And then you get to like view you're gonna it's like MTV Cribs, except it's their jet, and they like bring you through all their choices and everything.
Wow.
It's wild.
That's a lot to cover. And how, what is it? Like, what's the limit now? 3 minutes?
Yeah. It's like, and then,
part one.
It's fascinating. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Also, Nick has like a hidden thing that I didn't know about, and it all makes sense now. Tell us about you are a food critic.
I am a food critic.
A hidden food critic.
A hidden food critic. It's weird for me to say. I think maybe around 2010 when I was working film production jobs and trying to do my screenwriting around crazy hours and just it wasn't happening. I was super creatively frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, maybe I'll start a blog that's just me writing about restaurants, which I love.
Yeah.
So I did that for a summer. And then
is it restaurants you love or you love writing about the restaurants?
Both.
Yeah,
I would write about
there are some bad ones on there too, like bad reviews, or you only do
no, when
reviews?
I was doing my own blog, I was just trying to like say like this place positive. Is cool or this is a good happy hour or really you positive. Can. It was kind of like good deals you can get at good places.
Well, Zach always messages you anytime he wants like a restaurant and I never, it's that so never sweet. Like clicked in my head and I was just like reviewing.
I love when people ask me for restaurant accommodation. I think I was telling you at lunch, I'll never know on the spot. I'm kind of like, I need like 10 minutes. And I'm like, I'll come back to you.
Yeah. But like you always never steer us wrong. Yeah.
And so I saw an ad for, do you remember Frontiers Magazine? Were you?
Mm-hmm.
Frontiers Magazine is no longer in print, but it was the free LGBTQ West Hollywood magazine.
Cool.
And they were looking for a restaurant reviewer for them. So I applied, I sent in my blog, I got the job.
Ooh.
I did that for a couple years. And then I was like, I want to go bigger. I got $75 a story.
Ooh.
And then as AAA members, we were getting, you get a free magazine with your AAA. And in Southern California, it's called Westways.
Cool.
And I always liked reading it. I'm like, they have restaurant roundups. So I wrote the editor. And I was just like, hey, if you're ever hiring writers. And she was like, we're not hiring. But if you ever have an idea, send our way. So I sent them an idea.
And pitch them things.
She gave me the story. And then...
hello, production background.
Yeah, and then she started giving me like just more and more assignments. Maybe for a couple of years. It was sporadic. And then... And I wasn't a critic. I was just doing like food
writing.
I called it food writer.
Okay.
A food writer. So I would do like three places to get amazing fried chicken in LA.
Cool.
And then she finally gave me a column where I was writing about three places. So it was regular.
Oh,
and
okay.
And then last year, the food critic left, retired. And so I got promoted. Yeah.
And you earned the title of food critic.
So now I am a food critic. But what's funny is, and I'm in the Palm Springs area, like gave me Riverside County. Oh,
interesting. Okay.
So one, if you're in LA and you hear me talking about this and then you get West Side Magazine, some people have been like, oh yeah, I saw your little story. It's so cute. And I'm like, no, that's the truncated version. Because in LA, they shorten it to like a blurb. But in Riverside County edition, I'm the big one, and they shrink the LA.
Oh,
interesting.
So yeah, now I go. I don't tell them I'm going.
Right, because I was like, do they ask?
Shopper.
Do they
ask?
I always
go three times.
Okay.
You go to the same place three times.
I do.
And do they know you're coming? How far apart? No, they don't know you're coming.
Usually, it's like within the same month. There was one time where Paul and I went to Temecula for a weekend. I'm like, we have to cram in
a couple visits
to the same place, and the woman's like, you're back, huh? And every time I have a notepad, I'm like, yeah, I'm back. I think she figured it out.
Wow.
I love how you have a notepad instead of just your phone.
Your legal pad.
Oh, I write it all down. No, I can't do notes on my phone.
I wish you would do like a voice recording. Yeah. The risotto has mild flavors.
I'm like, the server has just recognized me.
I've been out.
I do. Now it's more of a review. I go three times. I get paid more. Okay. But I don't get.
So
nasty.
What's your star? Do you have like a star? Like, what's your ranking process? Nothing like 3 out of 5 stars.
I don't have a star.
Must go.
What's your favorite bite in all of Southern California? Go.
Well, in Palm Springs, and it's the hardest reservation to get. But it was my first official review. It was Bar Cecil.
I knew that. You told me that before.
Yeah. I've never had it.
I still have never been there.
Unfortunately, like a hyped up movie, I feel like it's now hyped up. So now when people go, they're like,
It's fine.
But it is my ideal restaurant. It's like this small, cozy California.
It's in a hotel,
it's in the strip mall.
Oh, it's in a strip mall. Oh.
And which is also my favorite thing when you go to a strip mall, and then there's just like amazing atmosphere inside. And it's the service is top notch. They're super friendly. If you go to see at the bar, it's amazing drinks, and then just like really good food. Steak free, and they always have a vegan option, and just like a good, cozy night out.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And if you're in Palm Springs, if you're in the area, you cannot get reservations. It's always booked. I don't understand it, but you can go at 5 o'clock. They always leave areas open. Mm-hmm. So
for a walk.
I'm testing it. You could get in.
Okay. You just have to beg.
So how many times have you been? More than three.
I've been more than three. I've probably been 8 or 10 times.
Wow. Yeah. 10 times.
Yeah.
I love
It was the beginning. It's the first thing he wrote about. Yeah. So like, I mean, there's been some time.
Yeah.
Yum.
So that's in Palm Springs. And then Rachel and I just had dinner at a really good restaurant called Greekman's in LA. Have you been?
I've never been to
Greekman's. I never heard of that.
Yeah.
What part
it's
of
over
town?
In Silver Lake Echo Park.
Oh, okay.
And it's Greek.
Yum.
But it's just super cozy and really good small plates that are actually like shareable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like not. I don't like it when people are just like, there's small plates and shareable,
one
and it's this,
and you have like
two deviled eggs
one
for
tomato.
Four people. Yeah.
Well, we have tons of questions.
I'm ready.
From all of our wonderful listeners.
Okay.
What's the last mistake you made?
As it relates to Try Guys?
Yeah.
I had a mistake story ready for life.
you can do life too.
I could tell you a funny thing that's not Try Guys. This is like fresh.
Go
last
for
night.
It.
Because I was thinking about this question because Raiden gave me a few in advance. This has nothing to do with Try Guys. This is all just me and Paul. But Sunday night is like our chill.
Sounds like you're blaming Paul for something.
I am going to blame Paul.
Poor Paul.
He actually spent the day working yesterday. Bless his heart.
Aw, Paul.
And then Sunday evening, doesn't know, Paul is your partner.
My husband. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sweet Paul.
Yes.
He's angel.
And he spent the day working,
and
he was like, all I want to do is log off at 6 o'clock. I'm going to make us dinner, which is like his free his mind activity. Mm-hmm. And our Sunday night is usually like HBO or Housewives, and we eat dinner from the TV, and it's just like this chill.
So you never say yes to Sunday plans?
We do, but often
for the most.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he got dinner ready, and he was like, I think let's just pop on the Tonys, which were on last night. Yeah. Which is kind of random. We've never watched the Tonys before. So the performer from West Side Story, Angela Bassett did the thing.
Oh, Ariana DeBose?
Yes. She was hosting.
Uh-huh.
He's like, maybe this is like her comeback. Like she's going to say, she's going to own that moment. So we sit down and we watch it and she's amazing. She's the host. She mm-hmm. does the opening.
I have no idea where the story's going.
Yeah. So we just keep watching. We're like, this is fun. Like they're bringing out all the different, you know, I don't know if you've watched the Tonys before, mm-hmm. but if you're into theater, like they're bringing out all the musical like little, numbers from the show. Like it's very performance heavy. So he kept checking in. He's like, do you want to just keep watching? And it was on live stream, so no commercials. I'm like, yeah, we watch. It's a 3-hour show. We're so into it. We're making fun of costumes. He's texting his theater friends. But we're also confused because The Strange Loop, which we saw last summer, is like up for awards. We're like, that's so crazy because I thought when we went and watched it,
it won the Tony last year.
Like I thought we were telling people about it. You know where this is going.
Yeah, I know.
It wins the big prize at the end. And we're like, are we watching last year's Tonys?
Oh my God.
No.
I was about to say,
put
our
head under the couch. We're just like, wait.
She hosted last year. We were in The Strange Loop.
Yeah, we were like, so she hosted last year. That's why she never referenced it. He's looking at his text to his friends. He's like, I'm making fun of people. And the friend's just not answering. I'm like, your friend thought you were nuts. Like, we're watching last year's Tony. That's like watching last year's Oscars and texting people. We looked at each other. We're like, we cannot believe this. We're laughing so hard.
That is so funny.
And now we're going back. We're like, there was all these flags. That was a big mistake. We watched an old award show. Like, it was happening.
That is so funny. Yeah. Wait, so this was, how did you stream?
Paul, so this is why I blame Paul, because he like queued it up. It was on our Paramount app.
I got it.
And
okay.
We went back to it, and he's like, look, and it does look like it's live
fresh.
Tony's.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so he just hit play, and there was nothing about it. They never. We went through the...
You probably were so excited when Six was up there, too.
We loved it. We're like, yes. We're like, we just saw this. We're like, how did everything tour to LA so fast?
Stop.
That is so
They did funny. The people who died. We're like, oh my God, we didn't know they died. They had already died 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Insane.
How did they die?
That was my life mistake, but it was really funny.
Is there a video that you wish had gotten made?
Yeah.
That didn't? For whatever reason.
I mean, one pitch I made that got denied was taxidermy. There you go. That's why. We thought there would be too much backlash, but I went to like.
I feel like there's a lot of taxidermy content out there. There's a lot of YouTube.
I went to see, this is during the pandemic, and so it was a virtual. It's called Creative Mornings, and they mm-hmm. basically bring creative individuals, and you could watch like them do a lecture about their work. And there was a female taxidermist based in LA
mm-hmm.
who just spoke about it in the most loving, respectful way and how it's really about connecting to nature. They don't kill the animals.
It's like roadkill.
I think that's what usually people
and a lot of people bring in their pets, which I know that's sometimes
what I keep telling Eugene we're gonna do with Emma.
Yeah, so you would want to be connected to this woman. And I left. I'm like, oh, that was amazing, which I think makes a great video because you're sort of breaking down a stereotype and it's also
the shock. It has a good shock factor.
Yeah. But in the best way, because she was incredible
and knowledgeable,
and she teaches and classes, and she owns this business and has female, you know,
feels like a TED talk.
Yeah
So she was willing to let us go in and try it.
Yeah, and I guess you can do like text, so you don't have to necessarily do something fluffy. You can do taxidermy bugs, right?
Well, you could do
like an armadillo.
Well,
Primals, taxidermy bugs, interesting,
you know. Right, Alyssa does
taxidermy.
Yes, you could do anything from bugs to birds to squirrels. What would you watch?
I think your point of like it's a shock factor, because I don't like blood or really any sort of surgery, but I think the shock factor is good, and I think that's beautiful that it's like,
I feel like I don't know enough about it. So that's, if someone's willing to explain the theory to me, I'm open.
Yeah. But I feel like you wouldn't show like the blood, all that stuff would probably already be done. You know?
Yeah, you're not seeing blood and guts.
Yeah, it's like just the pelt or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Whatever. I don't know what you call it.
But
there are a lot of TikTok. I was on taxidermy TikTok for a while too, and there's like people on it.
Matt, your range is crazy.
Jets and
taxidermy.
Dead animals.
Is Matt a murderer?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
What's like the pitching process like here?
It is.
Is it in a room or is it in an email thread?
It could be both.
Yeah.
And I think different ones of us have different preferences.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I think that the guys led by Zach can mm-hmm. like fire off ideas in text chains
yeah.
and go back and forth. I like to sit everyone down
yeah.
and talk. Like try to keep it mm-hmm. organized and talk through in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I found through the years when I sent pitches over emails and people didn't respond, it was confusing because I'm like, did they not like it?
Right.
Or did they just, you right. know, so.
Because sometimes the emails are so long.
And I found yeah. it was more of like just forgetting about it. Like I'd yeah. bring it up like a couple months later. I'm like, did yeah. you guys not like that idea?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, yeah. what are you talking about? You know?
Yeah.
So I never pitch in emails.
And you guys usually will do like quarter, not even, I don't even know how often, just yeah. as needed
yeah,
in
I feel
person
like,
pitches.
Yeah. We'll just like
shoot
get the
off.
Band together and throw around ideas.
Yeah.
And then it usually goes off in 1,000 different directions.
Right,
and then you
yeah.
have to like rein it back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you still doing that as COO or not as much?
No, not as much. I don't yeah. like, you know, last week they called me in to go over videos, which was cool, uh-huh. you know, but I'm, and now whenever I get an idea or I see an idea, I send it to Erica
right.
to put it in a log.
Oh, smart.
Because I was like,
yeah.
the email thing. I'm like, if yeah. I just email, I don't know if they're not, if they don't like this or what.
So right.
I think before this brainstorm, Zach and Rachel went and looked at the list.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The queue.
And
that's
pulled
fun.
Out
right.
a few that they thought they could do.
Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, I think it's, there's no set method to it. Yeah. You know, I think
yeah.
if I got an idea that I was really excited about, I would just set a meeting and pitch it to them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plant the seed.
Yeah.
Plant the seed.
Tell everyone yeah. about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I was then, really yeah. excited to do going. Drifting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I knew they wanted to do that. So like, yeah. I summoned them for a call. I'm like, I got a place.
That's yeah. so fun.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. yeah.
It was.
Do you have a favorite video? It doesn't even have to be something that you worked on, but maybe you yeah. were on set, maybe you weren't, but like you were like, oh, this was awesome.
Yeah.
He's like crop tops.
Yeah. Well, it's a part of it, but it's a favorite.
The amount of shade cropped out.
I didn't realize it as it was happening, but I really, by the time it came out, I was really into the tattoo video,
mm-hmm.
which you were in.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I had always wanted to do a video exploring tattoos because mm-hmm. I love like that tattoos just have stories behind mm-hmm. them. And then Zach sort of pitched a partnership with a temporary tattoo place that had reached out to him. So he just wanted to rock the fake tattoos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah.
So I was like, I want to bring them together and not just mm-hmm. have this be like walking around with fake tattoos, but like let's,
yeah,
anyone on the staff who has or hasn't
let's
tattoos,
interview.
Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there was like some profound stories that
yeah,
came out of it.
That was yeah. cool.
And then the tattoo artist I got, which was not part of Zach's pitch, was awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I just liked how that video came together.
Yeah.
Tattoos are so crazy.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
We were watching something the other day that was like slow motion.
Tattoos? Wow.
Oh.
Oof. You don't have any.
No.
And you never want?
I've never felt the need.
And Eugene doesn't.
No.
Yeah. And you don't.
I don't. I'm not opposed to, I just don't have anything yeah. that, yeah.
It's funny, and you don't either, I remember.
Mm-mm, yeah.
Do you?
I do. I have one on my ankle.
Oh.
From my 25th birthday.
What is it here? I can't see
a little
see
lizard.
It. Oh, cute.
Aww.
I've never noticed it.
Yeah. It was one and done for me.
Really?
Yeah.
That was it?
I know. I didn't get, like, I should say one and two parts because I got the lizard and then at the time I loved it and I was like, I'm going to get this filled in as I travel.
Mm.
And the first place I went after was Prague. So I got it filled in there.
Cool.
And then after that, I was like, nah, I'm done.
Did it hurt that bad getting it filled in?
No.
No? Even on the ankle?
Yeah.
Like this bony prominence?
It's like that good pain.
Yeah, you're okay.
Yeah.
Pain is pleasure.
Pain is pleasure. It's like, I could do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Prague. So, how was Prague?
Awesome.
Yeah. Heard great things.
Yeah.
It was cool. So for like our audience who doesn't know, like what is a producer? What do you do? Or
yeah.
What
the producer title, I think, is the most confusing title in all of Hollywood because there's so many yeah. types of producers and the title is given to so many different individuals who do different things. In our world, the producer, I would say, takes the idea
mm-hmm.
and executes it. Mm-hmm. So if I'm given a video idea from Zach, let's say it's the tattoo, then I need to figure out how this video comes together, what makes the most sense. Rachel is definitely like this. I would usually make an outline and try to visualize the video in my head before committing to a schedule or anything. And then usually present it to the guys. And then they could sign off is how I would do it.
Yeah.
And then from there, I would, you either reach out. I feel like Rachel and I were the same way where we like to reach out to the experts because that informs so much of the video. But sometimes Jonathan or someone in the production staff will be like, here's five experts I've found, and then I'll connect with them. And I'll like explain them what a Try Guys shoot involves. I kind of sell them on it. I make sure I feel that they're right. You know, like sometimes I've gotten off. I'm like, they don't get it. And then
they do not get it.
Yeah.
Or some people are like more. Some people just don't know
what YouTube is. You know, like they're. But you can tell when they do. Like either they'll know the Try Guys or they're just like, oh, this is amazing. I'll spend a couple hours of my day like promoting what I do. And then you work with the production staff to put together a schedule, and then that becomes a call sheet. And then the day of, you're really the director.
I feel like you're skipping over a lot of stuff.
Basically, you're the party planner.
I feel like there's so many things. You have to find like location. You have to find the people. You have to get all of the materials. You have to get all
and
the props.
And again, it's
all
not
things,
all
you know?
Solo. Like, no. The, like the staff is researching who making it easy. Shoots. And then when you decide the props, like our team goes and buys them. But it is, it's a lot.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of moving.
And then you're definitely, I think, what's at least unique to Try Guys World is the producer, for those who have watched The War Live, like, is the director. You know? Plus, you're kind of watching the schedule. You're a little bit of an AD. You know, like, you want to make sure everything's happening on time, which on huge productions, the director does not worry about that. And you want to make sure everyone's comfortable. That's my...
Do you have any insight for anyone who wants to get into production?
Like YouTube production or just production in general?
Or just any any sort of entertainment? Like, how did you kind of find your way?
My recommendation is if you're starting out, it's always good to know where you want to go, especially like, are you interested in TV? Are you interested in
digital
YouTube? Do you want to make movies? They're going to be different paths. But it's great to be open-minded and try everything at the beginning, which sometimes is financially the best move too, because you just want to get jobs. But I think you learn something, whether you're like a commercial shoot is very different from a music video, which is very different from a movie. So there's all these like pockets within production that I think if you just start out as a PA and you could just work as many variety of jobs.
Good idea.
And then, but have your goal in mind. You know, like, because I think once you've worked different jobs within a certain time frame, let's say a year, you should probably start making steps towards, okay, like I'm into commercials. Let me maybe just stay in this world and let me find a job here that I think I could climb towards. And then my other advice is like network.
Be nice to people.
Which is, be nice and... When I hear the word network, I always think of like going around an event and shaking hands, and that's not what it is. I think it's staying in touch with people you liked and reminding them that you're out there without being annoying. But like, you know, I appreciate when we finish up a job and a DP or someone will write me and be like, hey, it was really great working with you. Here's my resume. Like, call me again. And I think that is so important.
And you on the other end, like you like that? Or
As long as it's not overbearing. Like I've had a few people who are like every week like checking in. You know, like that's not cool. But I think when I worked in film and I was looking for a job a couple times a year, you know, like a film would last 3 to 6 months. I would individually email everyone I had worked with that I had connected with, whether they're in costumes or whether they're an editor. And as a production assistant, you get to meet everyone. So make sure you get to meet people, and then the people like who remember you, like anyone can help you get another gig. It doesn't necessarily need to be your supervisor. Because if a customer is like, I liked working with Rainey, like here, the next job she gets, she'll turn your resume into that
yeah.
production supervisor or whatever.
Finding a job a few times a year is intense.
Yeah,
that's stressful.
That's why I wanted to get out of it by the end.
Yeah,
yeah, that is super stressful.
But it was marketing like an adventure, yourself. But yeah, it's
the gig life. Yeah.
How long were you in that world? In the like getting jobs every 3 months?
I was in the freelance world for 16 years.
Wow.
Oh my God.
For like four of those, I was in TV and for. Yeah. The four in TV for two solid years, I worked for a TV writer. So I was like I was his assistant.
Oh, cool.
So it wasn't quite the same. And then I crossed over. I was like, I don't want to work in TV anymore. I want to make movies.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2004, I got my first like PA job on a movie.
Oh, wow.
And then I ever since was just hustling for movie jobs.
Wow.
When I was younger, I didn't.
You don't feel it as much when you're younger because you're like I want to learn everything I can and I want to absorb and meet go. People.
And some people obviously like love it and can never imagine leaving. And it's always like in the freelance side called going corporate or becoming a suit. They became a suit, like they crossed over. Because I think people who love it, it's just like an adventurous life and you're not tied down to any corporation, and if you don't like your boss, the job's going to end. You're going to be able to say, I won't work with them again. But yeah, for me, it just became a grind.
Yeah.
What was between TV and movies? What did you notice was different?
Well, when I worked in TV, it was very traditional sitcoms, which was like taped in front of a live studio audience. I feel like they're kind of a dying genre now.
It's all laugh track.
Yeah, and I just... That was a very regulated schedule. Like every Tuesday there was a run through and every Friday you did the show and the audience would come in.
Right.
It was very writer controlled. Like the writers were the cool crowd.
Oh.
And I was in production and we weren't. You know, like everyone else is just
the
running
hierarchy.
Around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, writers rule the roost in TV.
Yeah.
On a film set, it would be the director. Mm-hmm. You know, like the director, you're kind of catering to the director's vision or the, if it's like a very involved producer.
Mm-hmm.
But on the sitcom, traditional sitcom set, and I'm not saying like it was a grind for writers too. Like they're working long hours, but they're.
And their output has to be.
Yeah, but there's usually a top writer who's a showrunner who's kind of running the writer's room. And then the run through is for them to see if their jokes work. They're doing rewrites. Mm-hmm. Usually there's a writer or a team of writers who have written that week's episode and they're sort of on set making sure the jokes land and it's being executed correctly.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, like the writers were kind of in from my perspective in production, the writers were like the stars.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They're the ones who are going to make it happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So you worked on the Gay Makeover video.
Yes.
Woo!
So we want to talk about some behind the scenes knowledge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whose idea was it? Why did it happen?
Yes.
What was your inspiration?
Well, what's funny is, so Rachel had done two incredible Try Mom videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, I did not walk in the room and say we should do Try Gays. I honestly, I'd be curious if Rachel recalls us. I think Rachel
there
just threw it into the mix.
Gays.
I think Rachel was just like, we should do Try Gays with Eugene. And so I just took that. I came up, sort of like what I was saying before, I came up with like four or five ideas.
Mm-hmm.
My idea for the first episode was, gays retry gym class.
Gym
class. Always a traumatic experience.
I know.
I wanted to explore that.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to work with like gay athletic leagues now because I feel like a big part of hating gym class as young queers is like you feel so different already. And then you're like, I remember I would just like softball was the worst
because
you're just up there in front of everyone and it's like defining your masculinity or whatever. That was my idea for number one, but it seemed like a big production. So to test it, I present all these to Eugene and Eugene was like, let's do makeovers. I should host. We should get a diverse cast. Which then led me to, I think it was like our first video we've ever hired a casting director from.
Oh, wow.
Before. I have a queer casting director friend and I was like, we're going to do this. And he was totally down and loved it and did all these interviews. And it was, I watched a lot of them. There's probably like 10 people like that were solid.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we picked three and they were all great. They were just like so down to be part of it, which is part of, you know, part of it too, like watching their tapes. I'm like, oh, I think they'll like get this. And then I was in and out whether I wanted to be in it. And I actually asked Rachel once, since she had done Try Moms, I'm like, I don't think I want to do it. I think it's going to stress me out. Like I want to be, especially with new cast.
Right.
But on the other side, which I think this is ultimately why I ended up working, her and I talked about it. She's like, you'll be with them. So I won't like be that producer saying like, we got to get this and that and this. I like when I talk to them, I'm like, I'm going to be one of you.
Right.
So if you ever feel that you're not in a safe space or that we're talking about something uncomfortable, like talk to me, like let's make this, make us all look good together.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were the mole. The sleeper agent.
But I was upfront about
it.
No. Yeah. And so, and then I feel like the next component was we got an incredible stylist.
Yeah.
Who was so down to like work with a, I talked to a few stylists and some of them were like, oh, we need this budget to be
even
here. And my thing was like, I don't want this to be about name brands or a makeover into expensive clothes. I want this to be achievable by viewers and to be more about not the brand or the cost, but just about a look that you can get. And so she was, you know, totally got that. And I think everything that we bought and show in the video is from, you know, like the Express or like a mall, you know, like we didn't keep it too fancy.
Yeah.
When you were planning everything out, did you already have like people's story arcs and stuff in mind from watching the videos or does it develop over?
So it's cool because we've never done casting. Like Vincent was our casting director. I talked to him about what the video should be and in like, he did an hour interview with each one of them.
Wow.
And just talking like why they want a makeover, why they're not happy in their current style, like what is making them uncomfortable. And then, we shot day one, I think a week, maybe 2 weeks ahead of the reveal. So the stylist had time to shop.
Right.
And that really was like a day where she sat in and met them and interviewed them. And then Eugene interviewed them on camera and just got a feel for what they'd want. But I was nervous leading up to it. I'm like, what if one of them hates it?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's kind of good content.
Those moments.
I know, but I didn't know if I wanted to go that way. But yeah, that is like the reality show producer dream, right? Yeah. Like they walk out.
And they're like, I don't
know. Did anything crazy happen on set or during that time? Any juicy stories?
During the gay makeovers?
Yeah.
No. Let me think.
Go in an unexpected direction. Any drama at all?
Matt's like, tell me.
No, that's the best part. Is I think I don't have a really dramatic story to tell because they all were super happy with their makeovers. And like Carol had a queer daughter who brought her girlfriend. And I don't know. It's just like everyone just had like a really
so wholesome.
Yeah. It ended up being very wholesome. Yeah.
When you say you were like stressed out, were you stressed to be both producing and on camera, or were you stressed to be on camera, period?
Both was what my stress was coming from. And then I was like a little nervous to be on camera.
Yeah. But why were you nervous? Just because?
Because I was like if I'm going to do this, I'm going to talk about personal things. I actually didn't end up going there. Like we kind of stuck to one area, but I'm like, am I going to talk about like body image? Like we never opened up that door, but I was ready to do it. That's sort of part of why I wanted a makeover too. But the original, the initial stress was like, I don't think I could like relax
and then be
like, is everyone else okay?
Yeah.
And are we on time? And Eugene, are you have what you need? And
it's a lot of roles.
But it all worked out. Yeah. Rachel was like she's like, do it.
Yeah.
You should do it.
Yeah.
It was such a fun
There
video.
Are a lot of tender moments.
Yeah.
In that video. So how did you pull those out of people? You know, because there wasn't like a confessionals like on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, because.
You know, like how do you get people to that place where they could then, you know, kind of talk about that?
Because we were not being like, we weren't being on the other side, and my intention wasn't to produce gotcha moments. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of reality show is based on that. So
that's true.
You know, for The Bachelor or whatever, like, you're going to have your producer who's kind of your friend, but they're also like
feeding you lunch. Not
all. Yeah, they're like utilizing you for moments. So it's a weird relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's not what this was, which is why there was no drama. Like, I just was like, I want everyone to leave here feeling good.
Right.
I want everyone to feel super comfortable telling their story. You know, I told them, I'm like, if we go into something you don't want to address, just flag it in this moment. Or if you think about it afterwards, let me know and I'll edit it out. So it was all just about being like comfortable.
Yeah.
Gay, queer people who want makeovers do not need to be gotcha.
Hoodwinked.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it would have been good TV if we gave them an outfit that they felt horrendous in. Mm-hmm. And they were like, this is crazy. But
that was
not
the video.
The intention.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the heartwarming moments were just natural. Because we weren't trying to get moments that weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say BTS, I remember the tattoo video, you were asking me like a lot of great questions.
Yeah.
Like I was surprised. I was like, oh, I don't have to just concoct this. Like Nick is going to like kind of... get me in the right space.
Pull it out.
Yeah.
Which I like doing too. That's what's fun about producing.
Producing.
I guess I left that out, the interview.
Okay, so some of our listeners had some questions, and these can be just rapid fire.
Okay.
Who at the company is most similar to your younger self?
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, younger self.
Yeah. Is there anyone that you, even if it's just a quality, it doesn't even have to be.
It'd be funny if I answered like,
it's like
MJ, and I'm just like, what? Like, I'm nothing like you. Yeah.
How would you describe your younger self also? Like, what are you thinking about? Like, when?
I mean, I think younger self, like if 25-year-old Nick arrived at Suck and Try, I think I would vibe with everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me.
But I was eager and I liked working with people. And I guess I see little bits of myself and everyone here for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when Jonathan told me that he writes around work.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that's like,
that's very,
very much,
like
me, like what I've always done. Mm-hmm. So I like respected it. And I was like, I kind of see myself in that a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing.
Who's your favorite tri pet?
Who's your favorite?
Yours, Matt.
Baby.
Which one? Which one?
And yours, Maggie.
What?
I do love all the tri pets. Melanie is here the most often.
That's true.
I do have a soft spot for YB's dog, Lou.
Oh, he's a good
also cute
boy.
Who I've only probably met a couple times.
he's
just like the gentle giant.
Good boy.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yes.
Approved.
I like all pets. I'm a dog guy.
Really not a good answer.
We're always just trying...
I'm not gonna get any. Yeah, I'm not gonna get into picking favorite dogs.
It's like picking favorite children.
Yeah,
everyone always wants people to answer that.
I mean,
question.
I have a tri-pet too, but no one's really met her.
Oh my gosh,
I met her.
Tri-pet?
She's Emmy.
Yeah, she's sweet.
She's my little like half Sharpay.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Emmy not here?
Because she would go crazy.
She's a sweetie.
Yeah, she's a sweetie, but she's energetic.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I brought her through one time on my way to something, but
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's 6.
And energetic, because 6 is sometimes when they
I know
go out.
She's definitely got the energy of a puppy.
Oh,
and Paul works from home, so that's his work partner.
Yeah,
I wouldn't bring her. I wouldn't take her away from him alone. Yeah.
What's your best Rachel story?
What's so funny is, I feel like the viewers and the audience never see Rachel and I together.
And you guys are together.
We
constantly.
Are together all the time. We share an office.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just had dinner. She had dinner.
Can't get away from each other.
Yeah. We had dinner, a Saturday night dinner this weekend.
It's always Nick and Rachel, everyone.
I'm sure I have many stories, but I feel like my first one that I'll share is when Rachel was getting ready to come back.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like I shadowed her for 2 weeks and she left.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when maybe a month or so before she decided to come, she said, I'm going to come back in September. I had a pitch to the guys. I'm like, do you want to keep me too? You know, like.
Oh, wow. You had a pitch. I mean,
we had talked about it.
Yeah.
But they didn't remember to officially tell me.
Yeah. They had talked about it like early before because I do remember this.
Yeah.
Zach mentioned it. He's like, well, we don't want to lose Nick.
Yeah.
Aww.
So then I like had to officially check in. I'm like, am I staying?
Yeah.
So anyway, Rachel and I go grab a coffee like a week before she came back. And I remember going to that coffee being like, I really don't even know this person who's going to share the position with me. And she's done this job alone. Mm-hmm. And then I've done this job alone. So are we going to mesh?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we went and grabbed a coffee. And I just remember like 10 minutes and being like, oh yeah, like it already feels like I know you. Mm-hmm. And we're just having a good time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when Rachel and I had coffee at the general store in Silver Lake was a defining moment for me.
Yeah. Second Try is so fortunate to have both of you. Yeah. And the fact that you both get along and are just wonderful people.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel super fortunate in many different places, but but having a good relationship with Rachel is tops.
Yeah.
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 Could have been a disaster.
It could have been.
I could have been like, I did this, and she could have been like, I did it this way.
Yeah.
And we would have had to really figure some shit out.
Trial by fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So moving on. So you're no longer a producer, though, and you're.
So I'm not a producer at the moment.
What is a chief operating officer? What do you do?
Yeah.
What's the day in the life look like?
So why are you there? I got the title last year, but I kept producing videos. And what I learned was like, I can't really do that job while I'm doing this one.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because someone needed.
Yeah. Like just, there's just so many things that you really need time. Mm-hmm. And when there's a video that needs to be produced, that's all that matters.
Right.
Yeah. And there was always a video that needs to produce, another video behind it. There's always
Con doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
Con doesn't sleep.
Yeah. Constant. So I define my job as I'm making sure that the company runs efficiently day to day.
Yes.
Just overseeing all operations. And as we've grown to a staff of 20.
Yeah. Someone needs to be in charge.
Like there's just always something.
And making sure we're nice and organized.
Yeah. So just like, we have Devin now who took over a lot of finance, but I still like run the payroll. Any employee issues that they want to talk about, they come to me just to try to work it out. Yeah, or, the guys too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I see that.
But I mean,
typically,
anyone,
if an employee like,
that could come from.
Oh, yeah. I thought frequently the guys were talking to you about employees. I was like,
No. Like, I just
Raining, you're
like,
in trouble.
Yeah, they do that.
It
every
could
week.
Be anything.
Yeah,
you know, like I feel like I meet. Now I have the time to meet every week. I meet with the social team and just find out what's going on. Every other week I meet with Miles just to run through podcasts.
Shout out. We love
Shout
him
out
here.
To Miles.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah. I summon the guys and Rachel for a meeting once a week if I can and just go through company issues.
Yeah.
And then I've just had like bigger bucket things that I'm always trying to work on.
What I'm learning is that Nick's just like a jack of all trades. You can do it all. Food critic, producer, COO, you understand like budgets and payroll. Like you
just cannot figure out when the Tonys are on.
That's it. I mean, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Your fatal flaw. Yeah.
I plan the parties.
Oh, of course. The hack
party plan.
Never forget.
Party.
Yeah.
So what
I
are you
love
doing
planning the parties.
Today?
You plan really good parties, too.
Yeah, thank you. Today, I'm actually, after this, I'm going to go process payroll.
Okay, nice.
Super exciting.
Yeah.
But very,
Rainy loves.
Very important.
My favorite part of your job. Yeah.
But yeah, I just always have like a to-do list. It's never, no week is the same.
Right. You
know? Hirings, whenever we...
Hire a new person,
You know, we hired Kaylin in our social department, and I feel like that was like a couple weeks of... Interviewing and bringing her back and making an offer, you know, so it's just all that stuff takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you, Nick, for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule to come and sit with us and talk to our audience. And
where can everyone find you on or your food critic?
LinkedIn, baby.
LinkedIn.
Where's your food critic blog?
My blog is long defunct, but my stories, if you're in Southern California or an AAA member, it's Westways Magazine. Wow. Many people get it as a freebie and don't realize it.
Yeah.
Find him in Westways.
Find me in Westways. Yeah.
And I will continue messaging you.
My big social media platform.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Maggie, you should text me every time Nick gives you a suggestion.
I should. I should just like have a running list.
Right. Yeah.
Well, if you ever need them.
Oh, yeah. I guess I could go to the direct
just
to source.
Come to the source.
Yeah.
I honestly love the question.
Oh, good. Okay. That's I will.
I'm like, what are you looking for? What kind of.
I'm trying to curate for
you,
too.
Yeah. Let me come back with some options.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Yeah. Yes.
We'd love to have you back sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Setting us up. Yeah.
And for all the listeners out there, thank you so much for listening in. Remember to be nice to yourself, be nice to others, wash your hands, pee after sex, and, you know, content never sleeps. Keep watching.
Vote in your local election.
And vote. Yes.
Vote.
Pee after
sex.
Sex, okay.
Yeah.
Six.
After,
like, okay,
after
6
after sex.
After sex.
I mean, yeah. Men are less likely to get UTIs, but we just throw it in.
I see.
We just throw it in. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And until next time, bye.
Bye. Ramble.